And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah! On a field! Unafeared, here and declare your independence. I'm here in Shancock, here in Peace, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedom's Nest, Freedom's Phoenix of the Dark. Oh, he hit a note, even though he's a scratchy throat. All right. We have Charles Sloan in. Now, Charles works at a Gravitate Smoke Shop here close by. It's 5350 West Bell Road in Glendale. So it's right here on the border of Phoenix, and it's up the street, and kind of, you know, say what's up. Now, what I saw is that, you know, the Kratom thing. I'm going, yeah, I think I might want to get me some Kratom here. Take a look, and this is what it got me, as you can see. All right, here's the Kratom. It comes in little capsules, and I'm going, all right, how many should I take of these? Well, what do you want? Oh, I just want, you know, my mind to get a little sharper and kind of be, you know, I can... think clearer through the afternoon, and the editing goes faster. And I, you know, because it has had that kind of effect on me in the past. We've had Billy Kratom in and talked about this stuff, and he's been to the Breakfast Club, and he's talked about what this does for you, and so on, years ago. And a big thing, it was a all about pain. A lot of it was pain, and a lot of people use it to get off of other drugs and so on. It had a lot of medicinal quality, and they tried to regulate it. In Congress at one time, people freaked, and the legislature, oh, this Kratom, we gotta get it. It's like a drug. It's like you're not allowed. And people protested and went ape crap in D.C. when they went, whoa, we're back off of this one because it had a lot of benefits. And they're going, damn it, man, I hate when people get involved in that kind of stuff. But here in Arizona, from as a kid, the kind of smoke shop that this is kind of what I remember as what was called Trails. It was at Trails. You get this skimpy little outfit for your babe at Trails and pick up a bong while you're at it. Well, they were very careful. When they, oh, yeah, it's for smoking your leafy green stuff. You know, like tobacco. Yeah, that's the ticket. Tobacco. And I'm going, yeah. So I went in. I wanted to talk about Kratom. And I go, and he was very helpful. And I go, look, you know, I've got a studio right down the street here. Why don't you come on over? And he goes, yeah, you know, give me your card. And he talked to his boss, and, you know, tell us about that comment. We haven't talked at all yet. I just went, we'll save it for the radio, So you went to your boss, which is it a chain, or he's the owner of that location? How'd that work?
So we've got, like, several different locations throughout the valley. We have a couple out in Chandler, a couple out in Scottsdale, and then we have one that just opened up out in Goodyear. And they're kind of a chain.
Okay, now, Goodyear's a small town in the West Valley. The valley, when you say Valley of the Sun here, there's probably like a dozen towns.
Yeah.
You know, it's Phoenix, Scottsdale, Glendale, Peoria, Avondale, Goodyear, Buckeye, Tempe, Mesa, Chandler, Gilbert. You know, all this is all part of, you know, the valley. And you have, of course, probably 3 million in the valley, and half of that's probably Phoenix. So it's the Valley of the Sun, and you go, the population in Arizona is probably, God, I think it's like 5 to 7 million or something, and half of that is in the valley. So yeah. It's a lot of open space. But if you're doing anything, it's here, Tucson, maybe Flagstaff, but and Phoenix. So you have how many locations total here in the valley?
I believe we have 5.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man, you guys got serious.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Was this the owner of all of them?
No. So his, believe it or not, it's super funny. His son actually owns a majority of them, and then it's just him that owns this one.
Oh, so it's kind of like Last Man Standing for the son-in-law.
Kind of.
His dad had a head shop, and then he gave it to
pretty much.
All right. So this is the things that I wanted, how things have changed, you know, over the years. I've been doing this for decades, you know, and it's just the attitude. As a campaign in the 90s and stuff, especially when we were being buttheads, you know, you have the libertarians going, God, this is just stupid. And nothing stupid lasts because it's stupid. Well, there was a big push. Oh, you know, you libertarian from National Ego, you don't want to be, you know, too out there. You want to, like, sneak in and pretend you're kind of libertarian and be more Republican, whatever, and you get in, then you'll fix it kind of crap. And I'm like, no. Now, well, you don't want to talk about guns and drugs right off the bat. And I go, guns and weed. So we're just, you know, we make a big deal out of it. Well, this is change the attitude here in Arizona, regardless of whatever the legislature does. What's the attitude, you think, here in Arizona? Do you travel the country at all? Are you from anywhere else?
I've been to a couple different places, like Colorado, New Mexico. As far as, like, here, the basis on how everything works, as far as, like, you know, the talks about weed, talks about things like that, like, it's definitely super different out here versus, like, a place like Colorado where everything's legal and, you know, you're able to kind of just speak freely about it. But like you said earlier, like when you would go into trails like a long time ago, or like when you would go into some shops now, you can't really say the word like bong. You can't say the word weed, or like they
even the word bong, you can't say bong.
Yeah, there's a couple shops, you know, in the valley that if you say that kind of stuff to them, they'll actually like tell you to leave. Because, you know, it's something that they...
You used the wrong word!
Yeah. And it's, and to me, it's if you see, like, if it smokes like weed, it smells like weed, and it looks like weed, it's weed, right? For me, I don't care what you call it. It is what it is.
What?
Weed.
Let's focus. I know you do. CBDs is a big thing too, but we'll get into all that. But it's a nice shop. You know, it's in a nice area, the Arrowhead area up here, and so on. So you're getting like, I don't know. It's not too many nerdy wells camping out in the front or something
we do have a couple of sketchy people that do come in sometimes, but I mean, with every smoke shop, that's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, no, I'm hip to that. But it's a nice place, and they all are. You know, here in Phoenix, you know, it's got going on. There was a big thing. You remember when they were a friend of mine, Barry? He's all over this. You would go in and you would buy the tobacco that, but it was they had to put something in it to make it kind of tasty, like pipe tobacco. There's some regulation of it. It's got to be like crap for cigarettes, but you know, you can make cigarettes out of it. And they had, you would buy a pound of whatever it was, and then you just walk over to a table and you would start loading, you buy the supplies and you start loading up your own cigarettes. Well, a pack of cigarettes doing it that way at the smoke shop, and you just sit there, they have machines there, and you just rolled your own, and thanks, peace out, and you'd leave. Nice little social thing they had going on, had a bunch of machines. And the man came in, they said, you know, this is a while, it went on, a year or two or whatever, and finally they go, hell no. You remember that?
Yeah, no. And that's,
well, what was going on with that? What was their thing?
It was Big Tobacco's.
You can back off the mic just a little bit.
Sorry. It was Big Tobacco's, like, they just didn't want people being able to, like, afford and make their own cigarettes without paying them, is what it was. So, like, people would go in and it would cost maybe, I think, like, $2-3 to make a pack of cigarettes on your own. And, like, If you look at it that way,
and they weren't getting taxes.
Yeah, they weren't getting taxes on it or nothing.
It was,
so
you know,
yeah,
pipe tobacco.
Yeah, so.
So what do they add to make it to where it's not like cigarette? I don't understand.
So believe it or not, the difference between cigarette tobacco and pipe tobacco is literally just the cut of the tobacco.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, no, seriously, that's it. Pipe tobacco is a little bit more like long cut, so it's not as fine,
powdery or whatever.
Yeah, and then cigarette tobacco is more fine cut.
Well, some of these machines, I've seen how they work. You put the tobacco in and it kind of grinds it or something. It takes that cut out and then it stuffs it in. So they were, you're making your own cigarettes without giving us a cut. You're not allowed.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what it was.
That, well, who is that?
That's Big Tobacco for you. That was them.
Well, what did they use? It was the sheriff's department or the department of something?
I believe it was the
I paid them it was a shiny badge, whatever.
Yeah,
so we're going to get into the silliness of this and some of the stuff that they can do and how they get around it when we get back.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark, first contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords, but if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
With it, because there's some interesting stuff coming, just crazy stuff. He goes, last night I heard something on the radio, and you wanted to mention it. Go, what was it you heard?
I had heard that I think it was either like Big Tobacco or Marlboro was actually going to start paying for people's health insurances.
Okay. This might be the story. You know, it's something like this. That's kind of what they want you to think. You know, they're so nice. It's tax day when Big Tobacco pays U.S. states $9 billion forever. You know, the settlement requires payment of $9 billion to the states for the cost of tobacco-related illnesses, cardiovascular, blah, 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 blah. And it always goes bad when you got the man, you know, doing paying. You leave it up to individuals and kind of if private insurance companies. I've done recently. You know, I was just like January. I had every 10 years. You know, you do a life insurance thing or something. They want to come and check you. You know, I go, all right. You know, how long do I got to go without smoking any weed or cigarettes or anything? I can do that. 3-4 weeks. Yeah, I can do it. You know, and so it's not that big a deal. But the big thing was. Yep, they want to check, and they're going to make sure you got your mind right, because they'll charge you more money.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going, I save money. You know, I can go without, you know, because you just have one cigarette, and boom, you're done, I guess. I don't know. I don't care. But the, yep, here we go. They want to, they're going to pay for the cost of, but if it's so bad, why is it even legal? I don't want the government deciding for me any of this crap. In Arizona, the attitude is a little bit different. I've been noticing what the legislature and the government says and politicians and everything is not necessarily what the people are just here in Arizona. It's a little bit different. I mean, you've been here in Arizona most of your life, you think?
27, born and raised.
Okay, so it's I'm like the attitude here compared to other, certainly in this industry, do they feel they got the support of the people, or is there people out front protesting, or is your boss or the owners have to worry a lot about a lot of things, or no?
It's hard because like we do have a lot of supporters, so like you know, obviously we have our regulars and things like that into our shop and a bunch of people that actually care about like what we bring in and things like that. But as far as, you know, us having to worry about anything, we've had to worry about quite a bit of stuff about the products that we do carry, especially when they did have that whole thing with Kratom and them trying to, you know, get rid of it entirely, carrying CBD products, and, you know, the people that are trying to also kind of like get rid of that in a way, and, you know, not seeing the health benefits of it. A lot of the whole vaping thing, like a couple years back, there was a whole thing with the FDA getting on, you know, companies making vape juice and vape products and things like that. And so it's really hard because we do have companies that you know, are activists in that area, and they do try and, you know, fight back against, like, you know, Big Pharma, and they do try and fight back against the FDA and stuff like that to keep these products on the shelf to help better, like, people's lives. And at the same time, it's just we have to worry about it, because if it does go south real fast, we start losing out on product that we can actually carry to help people. So,
Kratom, you're not too far from Sun City. I mean, you know, you get a lot of Sun City action?
More than less, yeah. We do get a lot of, you know, older people in general kind of just looking for something to help with, you know, like the pain that they're feeling, things like that. So, yeah, we do get a lot of people in there for that.
Okay, why? I've heard that a lot. Is there, do we know the active ingredient that how Kratom helps with pain?
So, it has a lot of different strains to it, so it's not, Kratom isn't just one thing.
Kratom is like a bush, it's a tree. It has leaves that, you know, you can buy. That was one thing. Billy Kratom, he was making a whole bunch of bank selling the plants. You know, importing the plant. You put it in the backyard here in Arizona, you see the jungle I got back here, it has water, it grows. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. So we have irrigation, so on. So there was a part out there with a trampoline and the kids' stuff in that one field. When I first moved here, I plowed an area about 40 by 40 there, had it all bermed up and everything ready to plant tobacco plants. And the reason was, is I wanted to be able, and they came in from South Carolina or whatever, but it was a late spring, so then it was too hot here, and they died because, you know, it's freaking Arizona. But the planting season is different, so you got to, like, sprout your own and grow in early, because you can't even get them from South Carolina tobacco. They're not even, by the time we're here baking, you know, they're just getting started. But we put them out there, and they died because it was just, we didn't know what we were doing. But the we set it all up to do this for one thing. I wanted to get at least one tobacco. I still may do this when I need another project. But you have the tobacco, and I make a Freedom's Phoenix Freedom Cigar and auction that bad boy off. And what was, everybody would go like this. They go, is that legal? Can you go to tobacco? I go, you know what? I don't know, and I'm not looking, okay? Because I don't care. He grew a tobacco plant. I'm like, arrest my ass. I definitely want to talk about this one. This is good. You know, so this is, I don't know what it is. What about growing your own tobacco? Because I remember in New York City, when tobacco taxes were shooting to the roof, people were growing tobacco plants on their patios, their terraces and so on. It was a DIY, you know, do-it-yourself, you know, thing. So I'm wondering, do you know the laws about growing tobacco?
As far as that, no, not really, but I'm pretty sure.
And we're not gonna look.
I was like, I'm pretty sure it might be the same thing as, like, you know, trying to grow your own plant. Like, you have to have some kind of card or whatever. But to be honest, I don't see why.
They don't care. You got a reason why? Because they can. I mean, you know, you got Big Pharma to deal with, and you got Big Tobacco. Freaking, they're the same people. They go to the same secret handshake meetings anyway. It's all kind of control deal. I'm just wondering. You know, give a commercial for Kratom, because there was a lot of different strains, and I told you about what I needed, and you gave me this white tie cap. You know, and it's Green Lion Kratom. Well, at least now it's got packaging. That's one thing we used to say when we were kids. You know, when Marlboro has, you know, marijuana and the grade of I know how much THC or the milligrams and kind of, man, then we'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, and they pretty much got that now. Now it's, I mean, the names for different strains are freaking awesome. anyway, let's go back to Kratom. So people coming in, and you're like a bud tender. I mean, what do you guys call? Oh yeah, you can't, not a bud tender, because you're not in a dispensary. You're not allowed. So what do you guys refer to yourselves as?
I just refer to myself as like a customer service representative. Like, I guess
a customer service representative for all your make smoke needs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you have CBDs, but I want to focus on Kratom real quick. So Kratom, when you have someone, we've had a lot of senior citizens that are friends or live out in the retirement communities or part of the movement. Or, I mean, I'm older, I'm 58, so it's not like I don't know a few younger people. And some of the guys are like, look, I got my, woohoo, I'm legal, I got weed, I got, you know, I got my card, I can finally, and I go, you're waiting on the card?
Exactly.
So I didn't wait, okay? So I don't want to hear it. But they're all happy about these options. So when someone, marijuana, you know, I tell you, you know, Gary and Bird, good friends of ours, live out in Sun City West. They are evangelists. They bought their own from Amazon. You get to cook and make your own butter, and you put it out, and kind of boom and done, cook and cookies and whatever.
Yeah.
They sleep better, and the suitcase of pharmaceuticals or whatever is big on. And that's one thing Big Pharma is freaking out about. You add Kratom to the mix, all of a sudden there's another pill goes away. Let's see how many pills we may go away when we come back just a little bit. Charles Sloan.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agrist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agrist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agrist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agristhosting.com.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back! Declaring our independence and such from Big Farm, Big Back, Big, kind of down to the individual, decentralized, suck it. You know, that's kind of my view. All right. So when you have individuals coming in, there a lot of times it's amazing when you have a, what do they call them, apothecaries, or the witch doctor down the street of ancient Chinese secret of I got something, right? And that there's down at Town and Country Mall, I remember we had to do a liver cleanser or something. I had to take some, God, what do they call it, wormwood and butterfly eyelashes of Eye of Newt or whatever the hell it was. It's down at Town and Country, and you go in and you have these burlap bags and sacks of every herb and everything from all over the world.
Yeah.
And if you want to do certain things for your naturally and kind of preventative of whatever, that's the place to go. So we, Don and I, have done that. We go in. And Kratom really took off because it had support. Now, it was working for people. And when Congress tried to, say, nah, we need a new drug. Oh, my God, I have a tree leaf of Thailand something and you're not allowed. Well, people freaked because it was giving them relief from a lot of things that pharmaceuticals had a bunch of side effects. Were Kratom side effects or what?
There really aren't any that I've noticed. I've even asked a lot of people when they come in, like, when you take this stuff, like, do you guys feel any kind of like side effects that you would normally feel, like when you're taking like, your oxys or, stuff like that? And as far as I can tell, most people tell me that they don't really have any other symptoms other than the relief.
I think it was Kratom, and it was, but it was long ago. It was when my grandmother died. When did Grandma Dodge die, Donna? Do you remember? It was about 2004 or 2005, around in there. And she was in a lot of pain, but she's older. She died at 94, and she had a heart attack like a decade before. And my aunt, her daughter-in-law, brought her back, and she had a heart attack. And she just said, "You should have just let me go. I mean, I was ready to go. I'm good. My husband died. I was ready. You know, now, damn it, you made me here for another decade." And she wasn't afraid of, being dead. She was afraid of dying, gasping for breath. That was her biggest fear. She's like, man, I don't mind being dead, but dying sucks.
It's a fear I share as well.
So I choose not that, being in pain and catching your breath and then the act of dying. So that was, Grandma, she didn't like it. And she was in pain. Well, it was a plant that she got out of Hawaii that finally somewhere, and I think it might have been Kratom, but it was something like that, where it relieved her pain. And whatever they did, there was something, she couldn't order it anymore. And they said, I go, Grandma, you need more, you heroin? I don't give a crap. I'll take whatever you need. You don't have to be in this pain. This is just stupid. And she's like, well, the law, and so I just pissed me off. Then she would get a letter from the Republican candidate of who gives a crap. A lot of it is like John McCain. They're going to take away your medical fear. I see all this fear stuff of this generation they do. So, of course, she'd send, $50, $100, whatever. And then, of course, she'd get on the list and they're just always scaring you. mm-hmm. scaring money out of you, and they're not doing anything for you. They're not helping you. They're not. There are so many motivations that I've gotten as a political activist, philosophical, whatever, that just piss me off, and I'm just, this too shall pass, just stupid. If you look in the future, you just go, stupid stuff doesn't lack because it's stupid. When you start having private communication, when you start having, you got full access to information and you can ask questions and you get, and Google doesn't deny you the information, you're not allowed. Things happen. So when people come in, are they getting benefit? Do you think some people are going, they're repeat buyers and they're going, hell yeah, or is it they're just testing it? What do you think most of your sales are?
Well, a lot of the people that I actually get my most sales from are people that have been using Kratom for a standard, a long amount of time. But it's really funny when people come in and they ask me, what is this? What is Kratom? And I have to pretty much, it's something to help you get off the pharmaceutical medications. It's something, that's a way healthier alternative to taking these things that they're giving you. It's just something that they're giving you it's the benefits of it are better than what you're receiving from, the doctors and things like that.
See, that's the dangerous. They don't like, man. You're
no, and they loud. And they don't, and that's why a long time ago that they had the whole thing where they were trying to get rid of Kratom, where they were trying to get it off of our shelves. And when they did that,
how long ago was that? A year and a half ago or something.
I think it was a couple years ago. Yeah. And they just they tried to get it off of our shelves.
They came in with a bucket.
So what happened was, is I believe it was the FDA or something like that had gone through and started trying to ban it per se, I guess is what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And a lot of shops were actually taking it off their shelves because they were in fear of the FDA coming in and shutting them down just because they were carrying it.
They have some jurisdiction over your shop.
Well, no, but
they had a shiny badge.
Yeah. For us, we didn't stop selling it. We
bring it on.
Yeah, we were just okay. Well, we're gonna run this into the ground until it dies. All
right.
So we didn't stop selling it. We didn't stake it off ourselves because we believe it or not, it's funny to say, but as a smoke shop, and especially as an employee for them, I'm not speaking on behalf of them, but on my standpoint. I'm about helping the people that come into my shop. So if I can offer them something better to get them off of these pharmaceutical medications, to get them off of, these things that they're doing and better their lives and get them healthier, I'm all for it.
Yeah, we see pictures of the shop, and you'll see the tall cabinet is the one where I think you had all the Kratom in. But now it's CBDs. We've had friends that part of the CBD thing. We have a friend of ours that lives in Washington State, grew his own hemp. Got the hemp seeds, extracting the CBD, doing man his bank, and raided. It's perfectly legal. You got legislators there. Yeah, mm-hmm. This is what we wanted to see. It's all peace and, and tranquility, and people are better, and you're shut down. They arrest him for, he didn't pay his, child support, some owner of the thing, or he didn't, pay his traffic ticket, or he didn't. Yeah. There's always something. Up crap. And it usually has nothing to do with, they don't want to challenge that. But they, they won't leave us alone. There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave you alone. That's who they are. Everybody's going, hey, you conspiracists, who are they? I'll tell you who they are. The other guys won't leave me alone. Well, they got plenty of shiny badges and fine hats and the always available gun. Well, here they come. Sometimes they do a clipboard first. To hide the gun. So then they go, I'm sorry, I got a gun. I'm from the man. Well, CBDs is now becoming one of these things also. And it probably, CBDs got more buzz and Kratom. I don't know, which one's more popular?
At my shop, it seems that Kratom's a little bit more popular, but people are becoming more interested in the CBD just because it is, again, just a healthier alternative to just about everything.
Well, where do they get their information? Are they surfing the net? Or they have, friends? Or they're, looking for something? They tried everything, they're, are they desperate when they get to you? Or are they
A lot of the time when they come in and they see the CBD and they see the Kratom and stuff like that, that a lot of the time it does seem
a health food store.
Well, it does seem like desperation a lot of the time. It does seem like, they come in and they're like, hey, I've tried everything. What's going to help me get over this? What's going to help me?
You got feedback that it helped them?
Oh, yeah. Tons of feedback. I actually, the other day I had sold somebody some CBD gummies, you know, kind of got them on, you know, the right track, kind of told them, like, look, take a couple of these in the morning when you first get up, just kind of see how it does for you, you know, do your whole thing, take it like a daily dose of vitamins, you know. And I think it was like a couple days later, they finally came back and they were like, yo, this stuff really works. Like, I was more level-headed, I was very calm, I didn't feel the pain, and like, you know, and that's what I told them. I was like, once you start taking CBD and stop taking the medicine that you've been taking, you'll notice a huge drastic difference. And they just agreed with me right off the bat.
Yeah, is it kind of a, their body heals themselves? It's like, that's one thing you find out. We have scientists and doctors on all the time and everything, and they're going, our whole system is built on cannabinoids. You know, it's like we evolved with the plant.
Yeah.
You know, heck, man, do that, and then, you know, the mushroom cult of the Christians, you add that and you're all good. You know? That's it. Yeah, you think I'm kidding. You know, there's so much. We'll talk some more with Charles Sloan.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark, landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
But we don't want to get in trouble with the man Askram. Yeah, a little bit of Boston, never heard nobody. Maybe not, you know, the city, but the band. I'm sure the city had. In this last segment, real quick, I wanted to make sure we hit on a couple things. One of the other things is the glassware, and then, of course, vaping. Let's do vaping first. Now, vaping, it's a big thing. You see billboards and everything all over every place of, you know, young man, young woman, don't you start that vaping. That'll make you a smoker, and it's a gateway drug to, you know, to marijuana or something. But, again, it's another freedom thing. And I remember when the vaping first came out, you know, we know Joby Weeks was, you know, shipping in the first ones freaking, you know, by the sea container from Asia, and, you know, making a big deal out of that. And then he had his own grows and so on in Colorado. He's the one that stayed in the summer at Breckenridge and got the city to legalize, the first one to legalize the city in Colorado, and that started it. And there mm-hmm. we go. Boom. Joby Weeks. Well, Joby also created it was a big deal to be able to have some kind of an extract of oil that would go in these pens that wouldn't clog it and it would work and kind of, you know. So I hear tell that the full bud plant kind of is much better all around, kind of, that's what they tell me, okay, as far as I know. But the oils, I mean, it'll give you a kind of, it'll top off a little something, give you a little extra something, but it's not the same. But it's very popular because they're very convenient and they don't smell. I mean, you're sitting there doing them on the airplane or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So vaping, and you're not dealing like a dispensary, you know, marijuana, but the tobacco essence, I mean, what is it? Just a nicotine delivery system or something?
And it's super funny because you hear a lot of people, the biggest, portion of what vaping was, you know, super bad about was just the fact that, you would hear a lot of people talk about like popcorn lung, you know, and things like that. But
what the hell does that mean?
So popcorn lung was something that was actually way back in the day. It had to do with vegetable glycerin being pressurized and then vaporized and that's what you would breathe in, and it would cause your lungs to get saturated with this like vegetable glycerin. But that happened a long time ago back in popcorn factories when those vats would actually cause pressure leaks, and that's what would happen. And those people that were working in the factories for long hours would be breathing that in, and that's where popcorn lungs started. Now, because
so they just made that up, threw that in with because they because
in all vape juice there's three active ingredients, or there's like three ingredients in general. It's propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, and then nicotine.
Oh, substrate. Health food.
Yeah, exactly. It's
well,
it's,
yeah, I'm that, yeah. In, I'm not putting it on my cereal, you know. But anyway, so the health. I'm not going to make any claim that vaping's. You vape anything. You bring it into your lungs. You're getting what you get.
Oh, yeah.
It's a man-made whatever. I'm not a big fan of something. But you know, vaping is it. It'll turn out 20 years from now it causes blindness or something. Whatever.
Yeah, they'll link it to something.
But you know, that doesn't mean it's not true. But what's the popularity of vaping? Is that a
huge?
Big really?
It's huge. Especially with, and it sounds bad, but especially with like the younger generations, anybody 18 to like 27, because
what age do you have to be to buy it?
You have to be 18, which is ridiculous in my opinion, because it's not technically a tobacco product.
Technically whatever the hell they want to be.
Well, yeah, but in no shape or form is there actually, because a lot of vape juices actually don't use tobacco derived from a tobacco plant.
Oh, even better. They Frankensteined it. Yay. Yeah, I'm not, you know, well, you got the vaping stuff and there's different. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time because I'm not.
Yeah, no,
you know, whatever. But the, it has a label on it, right?
Tell you
what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, want to put that, they go, oh, my ingredient's not long enough. I want to get this one with longer ingredients.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, you got to do me. Oh, I really pollute my, let's do it. All right, no, I'm not a fan. But, you know, that's your problem, man. You know, vape out. But the glassware.
Yeah.
Okay, glassware. You have a lot of glassware.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Is that one of your big profit margin seller stuff?
Yeah. We have a lot of people coming in just on a daily basis looking for, like, a small hand pipe to kind of just get through the day, or they're looking for, you know, a bong that they're going to have for, like, the next, like, year.
You know who has the best glassware and weed? I mean, the best.
Who?
It's when you return your rental car at Denver Airport. Those guys, I asked him. I go, come on, you're killing. I go, hey, there's a little, you know, I can't take it on the plane. And he goes, okay, you know, I put it in my, you know, my freaking trash bag, you know, for all that. And what do you do with all this stuff you guys get? Oh, yeah, we are to turn it into the special bin of the, yeah, right, you know.
No, they keep that.
Sure you do. You know, so this is, the glassware, a lot of them, they just need a little something. They, you know, it's $5-$10 deal. I just need to get me through my vacation if I'm in Denver. You know, cool.
Yeah.
Then what? You know, what about the bigger ones? What about the larger one? What about the expensive? How expensive are some of these bongs? Glassware.
Oh, no. You call it a bong, man. If it's
smoked,
you call it what it is.
Mole. So I got a bong. So go ahead. Yeah, Austin Powers.
But
so go ahead and tell me some of the more expensive pieces of glass.
So, I mean, I have anything from, you know, a $5 hand pipe just to get you through the day to, you know, up to almost like $200 just in glassware.
Okay. I got a Nixon. You know what a Nixon is? It's like a vapor thing.
Yeah,
it's a box and got mm-hmm. all the freaking, you know, it's like it's a going concern, you know. It's the plumbing of it's a vape, and it really is a cool device for you know, doing dabs or, you know, anything. You know, mm-hmm. flower, it really heats. I like the way it works. It's too fragile though. I need, you know, I need like a, you know, my silicone glow in the dark, got a base hold for my lighter, perfect kind of great party bong. Drop it, doesn't matter, kind of, you know. So I've heard.
No, know, yeah, we sell a lot of silicone products, which is by far the best thing that they've ever made for this industry.
I know this. It is, and it glows in the dark too. Where is it? Oh, it's over there in the corner. But it has a metal bowl, you know, that kind of fits into it, and it's easy to clean. I mean, I really like it. It's not subtle. You know, and then, but some of the, you know, a lot of times, you know, I'll see, so I go, I like that one, that glass, it's, you know, well, how's it smoke? Don't care, it's pretty and it's blue. You know, looks like my peacock. You know, so I'm going, yep, I like that. So there is, what's the price range on the upper end?
I mean, I think the most expensive piece we have in our shop right now is like about 198-ish.
Is it pretty charming?
Charming, yes. Put you on your butt, probably.
Well, I mean, is it worth it? I mean, is it were there art or are they functional? What are they? Because the silicone goes for function. Here, just skipping to the end. Yeah. I got a little whatever one hitters. If I got my pocket going golfing, and it looks like a cigarette on the fourth tee.
I mean, the more you pay, it's just like with everything else. The more you pay for the item, the better quality that item is going to be.
Well, how do you guys market? Are you even allowed to advertise? Can you say we got CBD? I mean, you put it in the window, but I mean, I'm wondering what kind of marketing you're in the New Times or something. I mean,
well, as of right now, our marketing campaign is actually really lacking, and it's just because at the moment we're kind of in a transition, especially at our shop. We're kind of in a transition of just getting everything kind of situated again. Because we did a lot of remodels, we're bringing some new people in.
You just spin a sign guy out front saying, Kratos!
Well, believe it or not, we have a sign, we just don't have a sign spinner. So, I mean...
You get those spinners out there!
Yeah, if anybody wants to spin a sign, please.
Well, I know a company, a guy has that, he has a team of spinners. He goes around, that's what they do. You know, they pay whatever, it's going to charge you whatever to do it. But it's, you're not, your storefront faces... the inside of the parking lot. It doesn't like face out. So it's not like, you know, the only reason I know it's there is because the UPS store is there. That's the reason a lot of people know you're there is probably that UPS store.
It's actually the wing place directly next to us that we get most of our business from.
Really? Yeah. You know, I found out and I go, and next to the smoke shop is the wing place, you know? A lot of people are the other way around. Well, this is, you know, we'll talk a little bit more. I got some more questions. We go into the stream. You guys go to the stream. Go to the stream. Go to freemansphoenix.com. You'll see the stream there. Top right, go into Declare Your Independence, Ernest Hancock, in there, and you'll see it's on, you know, Twitch and DLive and YouTube and Facebook and all that kind of crap. You guys go do that. But we're going to yak a little bit before Dr. Frank gets here. Because what is Dr. Frank? What is he? What is he? What is he? What is he? What is he always? What is he? Late! He's always late. He's a doctor. He can't help himself. I bet he's listening. Have you even left yet, Frank? Are you on your way? God. So we'll have time to talk with Charles Sloan. Just a little bit. We'll be right back. What's this? Oh, from Frank. Donna. Baby vomited last night and first sickness. 102 fever. Sorry, no studio. Skype should be fine. Sucks. I really wanted to come in this morning. All right, so he won't be late.
Hey, I'm LRN.FM Program Director Ian Freeman. If you're listening to our free-to-air satellite feed in North or Central America, heads up. We've been on the Galaxy 19 satellite since 2010, but now our satellite provider is moving LRN.FM to a new channel.
We can yak for a little bit. The on the stream, we won't make this part of the recording because I turned it off. But I'm very interested in the success of these stores. Is you have like you feel you got a good job, you get paid enough, it's all good.
Yeah, I feel like I have a great job. This job pays me well enough that I can get my bills paid and still have a lot of money just kind of, you know, for my own free time. So
cool. So they did, you know, this is I tell you, it's nice to be in a thing that, you know, the government doesn't really like you that much, but the people do.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's the best one.
And that's why I came back to this job, because I've been all over when it comes to jobs. I've done fire and water restorations. I've done, you know, working as like a server at restaurants. I've been a bartender, but my favorite job that I've ever had is like working at these shops, just because of one, the people that come in, and two, the people that I get to meet because of it.
And what do you think? You know, on the whole, I mean, a lot of people that this, well, matter of fact, it was Dr. Frank. We were on vacation with some people while we were in Panama. We fly back, we land in Denver. He had gone to a dispensary, you know, and as a medical thing, they had some marijuana, naturopathic, we heal the planet kind of, you need to know, and we're going to take an excursion field trip to a dispensary. He went in, he went, holy crap. I had never, we had a 3-hour layover. He goes, we got to go. I go, man, I get it. You know, I nope, got to go. I go, what am I going to do? Buy stuff, bring it on the plane? You know, I'm going to have to consume right away. So anyway, so we go to get an Uber, taxi, whatever. And we said, you know, take us to the club. Well, it was like 5 miles away over the bridge, and boom, there it is. Yeah. So we go in, and then, of course, you got to show your ID, passport, driver's license, whatever, seriously. So you do that, you get in. Then they have a place to the right. Oh, this is the medical. That's the good stuff over there. You're not allowed to go over there unless you got the card. I'm like, open. I can't go over. I get in, and then you got a place I can't go. What kind of recreation? You liars. So anyway, so I go to the bud tender there. I like that. That's cool. So I go to the bud tender, and I'd say, all right, this is my deal. When I go to the movies, like I got Endgame coming up, man, Avengers something.
I'm seeing that tonight, actually.
Is it already? So I go, all right, we go to that, you know, do a little dubage. I'm going to enjoy me some movie. I get into the movie. Is it in 3D? I don't know.
Yeah, they have it in 3D, yeah.
Okay. I'm not a big fan of 3D, but because it's just dark and kind of whatever. Sometimes, like Avatar was awesome. So maybe this will be, we'll see. So you go in. And you do a little dubage in the parking lot. You get in. You might make it past the popcorn person without being too Chinese-eyed. And then you get in, and but it starts to wear down in a long three-hour movie. This one's 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you know, three-hour movie, man. I'm not buzzing by the end. So I go, look, this is what I do. Out of experience, I take and boil some water. And I'm not a big microwave fan, but that's the fastest way to do it. But, you know, you just boil some water in a pan, whatever. It takes an extra minute to get over it. And you put it in a teacup or something, in a mug, and three times the amount that I would smoke. Three times, you just weigh it out or portion it out. You put it in the tea, wait a few minutes, let it do its heat and extract whatever thing. Drink it, then I'm off. And that's like a clock with me. 38.2 minutes and... Dude, okay. So right before we leave, I do that, get there, smoke a little dubage in the parking lot. I make it past the counter, not be too stupid, sit down, boom. As the smoke starts to wear off, the edible, you know, starts to, you know, kick in. I get a full movie. Ha! I hack the system.
Cool.
Now, the thing is that I go, all right, well, now you can do gummies or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So when I go in, I said, that is my drill. What dosage of what stuff, of what mix of indica sativa, God, man, you guys are killing me. It's getting all kinds of complicated. What is it that I would do? And he goes, well, we have cookies that are 10 milligrams. And he goes, you probably start off with that. He goes, but when I go out party, go see the movies, I'm only like 30. And I'm going, damn, it's okay, yeah, I guess you're partying. So he goes, so it might be, you know, 10, 20, being maybe, you know, your wife, she's kind of versed, because you can OD on edibles big time. No. I have stuff. Do you guys know about Undo?
No.
They're out of here, out of Arizona. It just went boom across the nation. We had them on doing the same kind of thing. It is an herbal. It looks like a vitamin E. Donna, go give me one of the Undos in my top drawer in there. They sell them to dispensaries. So this might be a product for you guys.
Okay.
Is that it is, you do an edible, whatever, and the mother-in-law comes over. And you're going, damn, this is not going to go well. So you pop one of those, and it replaces the receptors in your brain, and it just washes it out, and you're not high anymore.
What?
So you get the benefits of the, you know, whatever, because sometimes the THC is what kicks the Undo. Oh, yeah, here's the, yeah, there you go. Do that. All right, well, go ahead and deal with Frank.
No, I think he's here.
So. Are you there, Frank? Frank, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right,
give
cool.
me a couple minutes.
All right. So then we have, what happens is it's called Unhaze the Blaze. Overindulgence, unexpected company, bad timing. You know, it's like, damn it. So you take these, you just take these two tablets, and 15 minutes later, you're not high anymore.
What the?
I know.
Yo, I want to try these.
No, you definitely need, well, take that. You know, you definitely need to do, so a lot of, you know, people that we interview in dispensaries, and they're like, hey, where's my, get there, shit on my shelf, man.
Let's yeah,
get.
No kidding.
So this
what?
Is, it's just an herbal. It's huh. no cannabis, no sugar, all natural, no stimulants, no caffeine. You know, it's emergency, take it off if I did too much kind of thing. And huh. I take, the reason I'm the old man, because I know better. He's always got the, you know, the Leatherman, the pocket knife, and the, well, you know, the safety pin. I mean, you know, I just know. So when I go to these festivals and so on, I always have some of this because there's always a need by somebody. And we had a vending machine out there that we take to festivals sometimes, and we put this in there. People come up there, I need, give me, save me, you know. So this is always something good to have on your shelf. It's a good idea. You know, so there's the information packet. Give you guys and call them, check them out. They're cool.
Yeah, no
we should have these guys back on. Hey, Donna. You know, go ahead and.